Remember, we have four different Gospels because each of them leads us to our Lord in a different way. The first Gospel, as we learned, is Mark. Mark's Gospel has as its purpose that Jesus is the Messiah and he is divine. There's a lot of miracles that Jesus does quickly, and the parables are introduced to us for the first time in the history of Mark's Gospel. John has what we call deep Christology. John gives us a very thorough understanding of who Jesus is. Remember how it starts? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word. All of that high Christology, we call it. Mark's is the shortest. John's, remember, could be called the most complicated. The symbol for John's Gospel is the eagle, because it soars above the other three. Matthew is written for the Jews. And we have in Matthew's Gospel some beginning and deep themes of the church. That's why, for example, the Our Father we pray comes directly from Matthew, right? Luke has a different version. Those are actually answers that I know. When somebody says, you know, why do we pray this one? Well, it's because the church defers to Matthew's prayers often. Now, Luke could be considered our gospel. For those of us who are not of Jewish origin, which I would guess most of us here, Luke's gospel is for the Gentile, the non-Jew. And because of that, Luke has some beautiful themes of welcoming the outcast. That is why Luke gives us probably the two most beautiful parables we know of. Only Luke gives us the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15, and only Luke gives us what we just heard, the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. The gospel we just heard has civil laws named after it in our country, Good Samaritan laws. The gospel we just heard has a lot of hospitals named after it. I don't know, is there a Good Samaritan soap opera, or it's called something? I don't know. And there are many charitable organizations named after the Good Samaritan. And this is how it all begins, with a lawyer, not a civil lawyer, but a lawyer of the law, a scholar of the Jewish law. He knew the 613 precepts of the law that they had to follow in the Old Testament. He irritates our Lord. He doesn't want any answers. And these scholars of the law, by the way, are portrayed very well in The Chosen. The sleazebag meter begins to go up with these guys. And so he says to our Lord in a public forum, "What do we got to do to get to heaven?" And Jesus said, "You're the scholar of the law. You tell us." And so the scholar of the law says, "Well, you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said, "You're right. Do that and you will live." But then this scholar keeps antagonizing our Lord and now asks him, "So who is my neighbor? If I'm supposed to love my neighbor as I love myself, who is my neighbor?" And then Jesus tells this story of a traveler. Now, this traveler is implied to be Jewish, a Jewish traveler between Jerusalem and Jericho. It was an area of unrest back in the day of our Lord, it's still an area of unrest today. That area is the only time I've had any concern with traveling Americans in the Holy Land. The last time I was in Jericho, our group of 44 Americans had to quickly board the bus and get out of there. So this traveler is robbed, beaten, and left for dead. Now, people start to walk by. The first person that walks by is the Jewish priest of the temple. He crosses the road to walk by. The second one is a Levite. Who's a Levite? He's the assistant to the Jewish priest of the temple. He crosses the road to walk by because they have to. If the priest of the Jewish temple comes into contact with a corpse, he will be ritually impure and can't do his job in the temple. Their job requires that they avoid what could be a corpse. I'm a priest of the New Testament. I can come into contact with a corpse and still offer sacrifice for you. They couldn't. They're just doing their job. I know it sounds mean, but they're just doing their job. Their religion required that they would stay away from a corpse. The Jewish law. Now here comes this Samaritan who saves the day, puts oil on him, brings him to a hotel, pays the tab, says, I'll be back to cover the rest of the tab if there's more of a tab. And so Jesus asks this scholar of the law, who is neighbor? And the scholar of the law couldn't say the Samaritan, because the Samaritans were outcasts. Couldn't even say that. He said the one that treated him with mercy. And Jesus said, all right, go do it. You can imagine our Lord's heart was broken that he couldn't even say the word Samaritan. Why couldn't he? Because the Jews considered the Samaritans outcasts. Why? Number one, they were a mixed breed. Number two, they had their own temple that rivaled Jerusalem. And three, they had their own version of the Pentateuch, the sacred scriptures. So the Jews thought of the Samaritans as a deluded race, practicing false worship with the wrong scripture. But that's the hero. And so the scholar was asking this question, trying to define who God's people would be. And Jesus tells this parable, teaching him that to belong to God's people, number one, is not dependent on your race, it's not dependent on your worship, and it's not dependent on your religious culture. It's dependent on how you do the right thing for someone in need. These are the kinds of stories that God our Lord crucified. The Samaritan is saved. We sometimes think that we can choose our neighbor, and we have to be reminded that we can't. Some of you are going to go out to brunch after this Mass, and you're not going to probably go with your neighbor. You're going to go with your friend, because you can choose your friend. Some of you are not even going to go with your family. We can't choose our family. We can't choose our neighbor, right? That's why we get football on Thanksgiving, right? So you don't have to hang around the family you don't like, right? You can go in the basement and watch the game. We don't choose our neighbors either. Our neighbors are put in our path, and sometimes we think that to love our neighbor as ourself, the neighbor is the one that I'll find on my path. That's not always true. Our neighbor is sometimes the one on whose path I place myself. We sometimes need to get out of our lane, not cross the street, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Profound story of the Good Samaritan. A lesson to be learned for all of us. that loving our neighbor is often an inconvenience that we want to ignore. But to be part of God's people, we can't do that. This commandment to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, as the first reading said, isn't something that mysterious. It's not in the sky. It's not across the sea. This commandment is readily at hand, my dear people. And all we got to do when there's an opportunity is carry it out. I think that's long enough for July, right? Let's stand and profess what we believe.